been waiting a couple weeks to preach this sermon. It's just been burning inside of me. It's a good burn. Yeah. A couple weeks ago, I just touched on it briefly, just brought some thoughts from it, and I got the slides there if you want to pop up the first slide there. And it's titled, Expect Great Things from a Great God. Amen? Amen. Amen. Life is kind of this funny thing where we expectantly wait for things to happen, right? What kind of things are you expecting for in life? What kind of things are you expecting today? Lunch. Most likely you will eat today, right? There are things that we can expect knowingly that they're going to happen 99% sure in a day, right? Whether it's lunch, dinner, waiting for your next paycheck, right? Waiting for that child or grandchild to be born. What other kind of things do you guys expectantly wait for in your day-to-day lives? That's it? Sleeping, maybe? For someone to get saved. Taking it to another level here, Taria. Oh, man. Awesome stuff. Yeah. Yeah, this morning I want you to ask yourself, what kind of things are you expectantly waiting for from God? Do you even wait for things from God expectantly? What kind of things do you wait for from God? Anybody? Taria said, for people to be saved. That's God's work, salvation, right? Amen. That's right. Yeah, what are God's plans for this church? Wonderful thing to expectantly wait for and see.
What's God going to do
through
us today?
Yeah, what's God going to do through us today and every day? Yeah. Anyone else? Answers to prayer. Yeah, his provision in our daily lives. Healing. Amen. Yep. What's the big one? What's the big one that we're waiting for as God's people? The second coming of Christ. Do you expectantly wait for Jesus' return? I can't wait, man. What a glorious day that'll be. Did you know that there's a clock in a church in Strasbourg, Germany, and around the dial, the words are written, one of these hours the Lord is coming. Puts it really kind of like, Yeah, it's really going to happen. One of those hours. We don't know when, but Christ shall return. Amen. God's word teaches us to be kind of believers who expect things from him. And there are a few essential things for a Christian to begin each day with a supernatural expectation from God. Do you have supernatural expectations from God every day when you wake up? Do you? Anybody? Sometimes? Honest answer? Sometimes for me too. It's not every single day. I want to just look at a few kind of simple things that we can expect from God every day and should be expectantly waiting from him, but are very kind of important and baseline things of our Christian life. First of all, do you begin each and every day aware of the presence of God? When you wake up in the morning and do your morning routine, are you conscious that his presence is available to you? Are you expectantly waiting for God to be a part of your day? After all, there's no better place for a believer than to be than in his presence. Right? Are you expecting and looking forward to your day with him as part of it? It's a privilege for us as born-again believers to have access to his presence. Think about that. Our creator, sustainer of life, God, who holds all power in his hands. We have access into his presence. And something that we should not forget about. Yet we do. Right? If you're honest with yourself, we do. But it's also something that we should not take for granted for. Why? Because Jesus shed his blood on the cross so that we can be reconciled to God the Father and have access to be in his presence. He paid for that reconciliation by his own blood. It's not cheap. And it's beyond awesome to think about that, that you have access to the presence of God. It's a privilege. Psalm 118 verse 20 says, "This is the gate of the Lord, and the righteous shall enter through it." What is the gate? Or better yet, who is the gate? Jesus. Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Have you ever felt like there's been a point in your life where the presence of God has been taken away from you? You feel like you've had a phase in your faith where you're just wandering the desert and just God's presence isn't anywhere to be seen or felt? I think we all have. I have. Yeah, we all have. We've all been there. But God's word tells us to seek him diligently. Proverbs 8:17 says, "I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently find me." If you're lacking God's presence in your life, seek for him diligently. When King David sinned against God, part of his prayer is found in Psalm 51:10-11, which says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me." One of the major reasons we may be lacking the presence of God in our life is because of unrepentant sin. The Bible teaches that sin separates us from God. And the presence of God in our life is through what? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was sent to us after Jesus ascended to heaven. Jesus was Emmanuel, which means what? God with us. And he ascended to heaven to be by the Father's side. But he has given us the Holy Spirit to those who believe in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. God's presence dwells in us and around us through his Holy Spirit. Amen? This is something that we shouldn't forget about or put to aside. So many times we have our focus on, you know, God and the Son, but we kind of leave the Holy Spirit as the third wheel or something. But this shouldn't be. The Holy Spirit is fully God. Are you expectant of the Holy Spirit's presence in your day-to-day life? Do you take time in your daily routine to seek God's presence? Psalm 5:3 says, "In the morning, O Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my request before you and wait in expectation." That's NIV translation. I was just speaking to Tim, was it 2 or 3 weeks ago, about Mr. Rogers. Yeah. And Tim was, I watched the documentary, by the way, after with Ali, so awesome. But anyways, Tim was telling me about how Mr. Rogers is a strong man of faith. I wasn't aware of this at the time when he was telling me this. And one of the reasons he started making the children's television program, because he felt there was nothing good for children to watch on TV, that it was all just kind of fluff and entertainment and violent and all this kind of things. And, you know, and if you look at Mr. Rogers' television program, there's a lot of tough subjects that he tackled and gave answers to children from a biblical perspective. It's quite something. It's amazing. But anyways, Tim was telling me that about Mr. Rogers' morning routine and how he would spend a couple hours each morning seeking God, being in his presence. Now, there's something about the early morning when it comes to seeking God, reading his word, praying, and just listening to him. To wait on him in expectation, start your day off in his presence. Do you make time to wait on him with expectancy and being aware of his presence in your daily life? With God's presence in your life comes many things, and one of these is what? Peace. Peace. We look at the world around us and there's so much lack of peace. When Jesus left earth, he gave us a powerful gift that we read about in John 14, 27. He says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." Such words of comfort. Peace. Anyone here a worrier? Sometimes, yeah. We all worry. It's one of our human flaws, I guess you could say. The fallen world or whatever you want think about it. But so often we, what?
I heard warrior. Oh.
Sorry, warrior. That's my accent, you know, sometimes it pops in there with certain words. Warrior. That's right. You're a veteran of that world, aren't you? But so often we worry about the little things, right? And those little things become what? Big things. Simply because we just worry about them to an endless amount. And so often we let worry birth what? Fear. And what does fear do?
Disobey.
It's not only disobeying, but it affects the choices we make in our day-to-day life. We're so afraid of the what ifs. You know what I'm talking about? And we let fear make the decision for us. What if it doesn't work out? What if I can't do it? What if this happens? I won't even try. I'll take the safe route. Right? And it even comes to things that God calls us to do. We let fear dictate us and be disobedient to God's calling in our lives. But what does God's word say? Don't be troubled. Don't be afraid. Let my peace comfort you. But then there are times in life when we face real adversity, right? When someone close to us gets diagnosed with a life-threatening disease, someone close to us passes away, or someone gets into a serious accident. In these times, it's so important for us to have a supernatural expectation in God's promises. Like what Psalm 29:11 says, "The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace." And Philippians 4:6-7, very familiar spot. "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And let the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." Powerful scriptures. We don't need to worry ourselves to death. We don't need to live in fear of the what ifs. Why? Because God is with you, and no matter what happens in life, he is larger, he is bigger and greater than all of it. And when we truly put our faith in his word and in his promises, we can live with the expectation and assurance that he will keep his word. God is faithful. Did you know that at least once a week we're instructed to rest and remember the promise God has made to us? It's written in Exodus 31:16, "Therefore the people of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, observing the Sabbath throughout their generation as a covenant forever. It is a sign forever between me and the people of Israel." It's good for us to take a day of rest a week, right? It is healthy. God made it for a reason. But not only for our sake to stay healthy and sane, but also to take a moment to spend with Him, to reflect on the covenant, the promises that He's given His people. Observing a day of rest reminds us that God has made a covenant with us through His Son, Jesus Christ. And God will indeed fulfill His word. God made promises to our spiritual forefathers that He will never forget and He will always honor. That promise if we embrace Him in our daily lives. So don't worry or get discouraged when you see the immediate when you don't see the immediate manifestation of God's promises in your life. They will be fulfilled in God's perfect timing. Joshua 21:45 says, "Not one word of all the good promises that the Lord had made to the house of Israel had failed. All came to pass." Every single promise that God has made in His word will be fulfilled. That you can be assured of. That you can take to the bank. Words of Michael Scott, is it? I don't know, it just popped up in my mind there. It's a great show anyways. I want to close off this morning's sermon with a promise that we as a church need to walk in faith and just walk more in. The next five words I want you to listen to and take to heart and remember and walk in great expectation. God hasn't left you powerless. God hasn't left you powerless. Acts chapter 1 verse 8 says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." This power that Jesus promises when the Holy Spirit comes upon us is this enabling power. The Greek word actually used here is dunamis, which means ability. So the Holy Spirit gives us an enabling power, an ability to be His witness. Do you feel that you don't have the ability to testify about Jesus Christ? If so, seek for the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. I want to ask you this morning, have you received the empowerment of the Holy Spirit? Have you ever been baptized in the Holy Spirit? The Word tells us that we need to be empowered by the Holy Spirit in order to be effective witnesses of Jesus Christ to this world. If you've never been empowered or filled by the Spirit, I want you to encourage you just to persistently ask God to fill you. A while back, I read a book called Intercessor. Borrowed it from Tim, and I still have it. I got to return it to you. So it's got to go back to Henry now. But it's about this man named Rhys Howells. Rhys had to persistently ask and pray to God to fill him with the Holy Spirit. And it took a long time. A long time. And after much prayer, fasting, it came down to total surrender for his life that God has filled him with the Holy Spirit. And amazing things began to happen in his life and through him. Rees is best known as the founder of the Bible College of Wales, but God did many miracles through him. People were healed, and he had an enormous influence as a missionary in South Africa by becoming the channel of a revival there. I want to read a quote from William Carey, who is known as the father of modern Protestant missions. Sorry, I was preaching in Finnish this morning, so there's like languages colliding in my brain. We can expect great things from God and attempt great things for him when we step out in faith to serve him, because he is a great God. Recently, God's just been like really speaking to my heart to expect great things from him. Why? Because he is a great God. All too often, we become these kind of pessimistic Christians. Anybody here a self-professed pessimistic Christian? At times, yes, I admit it. But we begin to believe that nothing will ever change, you know? Our church will never grow. That neighbor who's cursing God all the time and just is anti-Christian, man, God can't reach him. He'll never be a believer, right? God will never do anything powerful or miraculous in our community or lives. And we begin to lose hope and give up, right? But do you honestly think this is because of God? No. Do you think that God doesn't want to be more involved in our life or in our church? Do you think God doesn't want to empower you in this church to win the lost, broken, and weary? God desires to see people saved. When somebody comes to Christ, what happens in heaven? The angels rejoice. God wants to see his church built and prosper. Just perhaps a holdup isn't with him, but with us. Of course, God's got his timing for everything. We know that, right? And his will for all things happens when he has aligned things properly and all that, right? But still, we shouldn't stop desiring to expect great things from God. We shouldn't become pessimistic Christians. There's no room for pessimistic Christians in my books. And I'm trying hard and hard to be less of one. But we need to be optimistic Christians, recognizing that we serve a mighty God, all-powerful God, a living God. Amen. You may be thinking or saying in your mind right now, well, Yarno, I'm not a pessimist. I'm just being a realist. No, I'm sorry. You're being pessimistic. Listen to what Ephesians 3, chapter 20 and 21 says. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Jesus Christ throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. It's awesome. He's able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or even can think of. We serve a great God. And so often we put God in a box, but we can't. God is a creator. By the power that is at work within us, God is able to do abundantly more than we ask for or even think. Hallelujah. Do you live your life expectantly, accordingly with this word? Have you forgotten what Jesus said in Matthew 19:26? But Jesus looked at them and said, "With man this is impossible, with God all things are possible." The key to expecting great things from God and attempting great things for Him is realizing that He is the one accomplishing the work through us. Our motive must be to glorify Him. Amen? You know, God is, He's so bigger than anything that we can even comprehend. You guys know this big climate change activist movement that's going on right now, right? Has anybody got their head buried and haven't listening what's been happening the last week? But it's a huge topic. It's just kind of blown up with all the elections coming up and everything. And I'm not a denier. There's definitely things happening in our world that needs attention, and we should take care of the world. And, you know, that's a mandate that God gave us, to look after His creation. And we need to do a better job of that. But at the same time, you know, this is creating such anxiety and fear in our society, especially amongst our children. And Natalia this week, just at breakfast, she was worried. You know, they've been talking about this at school like crazy. They were out there protesting on the street cars, you know, save our planet and all kinds of art, you know, with taking care of our planet. And, you know, in her mind, she's thinking the world's going to end in the next 2 to 5 years or something. You know? And it was a wonderful opportunity to me just to teach my daughter that, hey, don't worry, be at peace. Because in all of this, our Heavenly Father is in control. He is greater than all of this. There is nothing that happens in this world without Him being aware of it and allowing it. And just to teach her that, be at peace. We don't need to be worried because God has promised that at the right time, Christ is coming back and He will take His own to be with Him, and He will make all things new. What hope and peace we have in the promise of God. We can be expectant of God's promises to being fulfilled. When we want to do great things for God, we can also expect adversary, right? From the enemy. And that's what happens so many times. Satan opposes us by causing fear and sowing fear into our lives, trying to paralyze us, to take our attention away from God's promises, to get so caught up in our day-to-day routine that we forget to seek for His presence. To seek for the Holy Spirit. But we must push through in faith with what God has called us to do. I want to ask you this morning, what great things are you expecting from God? What great things are you attempting for Him? Don't let fear keep you from serving God. Don't let fear of failure keep you from doing what He's called you to do. Pray for power from the Holy Spirit. Pray for the infilling of the Spirit. Don't forget to expect great things from our great God. Why don't we stand up and pray?